across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Nice to have you here at 6:06 on this Tuesday, July 2nd, 2024. Another beautiful day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, through social media, or by podcast. I got a question for you. If you're competing with dozens of others for a big contract and you need to show off Wisconsin's public and private sector potential for high-tech manufacturing, who do you call? The answer appears to be Tammy Baldwin, as we will explain in a big announcement that was made last night that's going to lead to the creation of tens of thousands of jobs in the state. So we'll have that story coming up in just a bit. Busy day, busy show that we've got planned here for you to talk about on this Tuesday. Along the way, if you'd like to join us, our phone number is 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call it or text it. You can use the Civic Media app as well. We will, of course, be talking about the U.S. Supreme Court ruling giving Donald Trump immunity that a president had not enjoyed before. Just think of it as Nixon's revenge because of Nixon's old line that, you know, when the president does it, it's not illegal. It made no sense for 50 years, but now it's the law after a whole lot of people unhappy that their president was resigning, worked for decades on the messaging, the media, the donors, and packing the courts to get us where we are with yesterday's decision. We'll also talk to Bryce Luchterhand. He's a dairy farmer in the Clark County area. We talked to him about a year ago about efforts to help a handful of Ukrainian refugees escape the war there and come to Wisconsin. Ukraine being a very ag-heavy nation, much like the state of Wisconsin is, and so it would appear to be a natural fit. So we'll check in with Bryce Luchterhand. Normally, we would talk to Hans Breitenmoser alongside him, but I'll tell you in a second here why he's got to skip things today. It starts by telling you it's raining almost everywhere in Wisconsin right now, except for West Central Wisconsin, kind of the bow of a long curvy storm front that stretches all the way from, you know, Superior all the way to Prairie du Chien and just carves a big old swath throughout pretty much all of the state. It is 59 here on Lake Wissota. It is 56 in Hayward. Park Falls is at 55. Wausau 55 as well. Green Bay 61. La Crosse 62. Wisconsin Rapids 56. Oshkosh 57, Madison's at 61 right now, and it is 61 degrees in Waukesha, where Greg Bach is. Oh, my map is kind of rainy, kind of not as stormy as Madison right now, but a little wet.
It's rain. Yeah, it was raining as I was coming in, and now it seems to have let off a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just gray and cool and blah.
Yeah, and apparently, and again, Brittany will have more details coming up in a little bit here, but the 4th of July, not looking real promising here.
It's supposed to rain some on parts the of Wisconsin.
Supposed to rain on the 4th and the 5th. The weekend looks better than the Thursday and the Friday, unfortunately.
Down by me, it's supposed to be nice on the 4th, but it's supposed to rain the 5th, and we were supposed to have friends over for like a cookout.
Yeah, grill christening, yes.
Nah, I think that's getting postponed to possibly Sunday.
Sorry to hear that. The rain is a big reason of why Hans won't be able to join us. He texted me at 4:30 saying he was just getting to bed. Because, of course, the rain was coming, and plenty of farms still hadn't gotten their first crop of hay off. He had just finished helping a neighbor get their hay field cleared off before the rains came.
That's a good man right there, Hans Breitenmoser.
that's a good man and a hard life, because that's, you don't have any choice. That's what you got to do. You got to pitch in and get things done. So Hans asked if and Bryce Luchterhand and Hans and I, we all know each other, and it'll be fine. We'll talk to Hans 2 weeks from now, because 2 weeks from now will be the Republican National Convention going on in Milwaukee. So we'll have Hans back on, and we'll talk about basically the Republican convention and Republican the platform, if you will, on agriculture and for Wisconsin farms. So we'll have him in a couple of weeks coming. Awesome. There. Yeah. So I'm sad about the grill christening, though. I mean, there was such potential there. There's probably a brisket in your fridge right now that's going to be microwaved instead.
No. I would never do that to a brisket. I would never cook a brisket. I would never grill a brisket. Not at this point. I'm not there yet. I'm strictly burgers, hot dogs, sausage. I attempt steak when I can look up a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so maybe on July 4th, I'll just do a small little thing for me and my lady.
You and your lady friend?
Yeah.
Good. No, that is, again, you got to start someplace. You got to get the grill broken in. And many more masterful things still to come. We're also going to hear coming up from Sherita Booker, our social media manager at Up North News. On Tuesdays, she tells us some of the most popular social media posts of the past week or so. And then at the bottom of the hour, Christina Lurie is back with us. She puts together our daily newsletter. It's been rather sports heavy recently, but that's not just because of good outcomes on the field, but also just some good people involved in Wisconsin sports. And so she wants to talk a bit about that. So we've got all of that coming up. But first, let's go over the big news that was announced last night by Senator Tammy Baldwin, which kept some of us up a little past our bedtime writing it up. But it's a big deal, and it couldn't be, we couldn't get the details shared with us until last evening for it to be made public this morning. So we're making public this morning that the U.S. Department of Commerce is announcing that the state of Wisconsin is going to be awarded nearly $50 million to develop and implement a biohealth tech hub. This is part of the CHIPS and Science Act, one of several major pieces of legislation that got accomplished by President Biden and Democrats when they controlled Congress during the first 2 years of Biden's first term. The CHIPS and Science Act, most people knew it as a bill that was going to jumpstart, building our own microchips, manufacturing them here, so we're not relying on, a supply chain overseas that can break down. That's the CHIPS part, but the science in the CHIPS and Science Act is also all kinds of research and development and high-tech manufacturing. In a host of areas, there are things like, AI, quantum computing, precious minerals, biomanufacturing, and biohealth. In each case, different states or regions of the country can compete for federal investment in those areas, but they have to show that in that area they can do the research, they have the workforce, they can do the manufacturing, they can create the jobs and build the products of the future. So Wisconsin's being awarded $50 million and was one of only 12 selected for this final designation and funding in this phase. That's 12 out of 31 tech hubs that were initially designated, and nearly 200 initial applications. So it is a big deal that Wisconsin is one of only 12 selected nationally for this project that has been put together for the past 2 years or so, in large part by Senator Tammy Baldwin, who held a news conference last evening, a bit of a briefing to explain more about what's going to be happening. Here's a little bit of what she had to say about this tech hub designation for biohealth in Wisconsin.
From researching new technology and breakthroughs to private investment and skilled workers who will bring new products to market, Wisconsin's biohealth tech hub will be an economic driver for the state. It will help entrepreneurs scale up their operations and grow. It will help expand lab space and support new research. It will support people at all education levels get the skills that they need to land a job in this emerging sector. And it will serve as a central hub for private and public partners in biotech to coordinate and collaborate so that our state can drive innovation that benefits people around the world.
All right. So Senator Baldwin explaining a bit about, you know, what it's going to do in terms of, you know, there's going to be research in laboratories. It's going to lead to manufacturing, some high-tech manufacturing, but also all kinds of affiliated jobs that would go along with it. So everything from factory floors and truck drivers to suppliers, everything that's needed to work on these products. All told, it's estimated that about 30,000 jobs will be created over the next 10 years, ranging throughout the economic sector. And that the Wisconsin part of it is to create pioneering breakthroughs in personalized medicine. And we had Missy Hughes from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation on sometime back. And so after the break, we're going to play what she had to say. She really explains it very well. What personalized medicine is going to be in the future and how the genetics and the genomic sequencing and the high-end manufacturing of treatment is going to play a role. So stick around for more of that, about the designation of Wisconsin getting to be a biohealth tech hub and receiving big funding for creating a lot of jobs in the state over the next several years. First at 6:18, just a quick rundown of sports because, the Brewers were in the Rockies. Brewers are in the Rockies where the air is thin, and the game went back and forth, the slugfest all the way through. It finally went to 10 innings, and the Rockies were able to get a well-placed single to get the win 8-7. It was a typical game for the Brewers in that they had big bats, three hits for William Contreras, three hits for Willy Adames busting out of his slump, and Garrett Mitchell is back after being on the 60-day injured list, but unfortunately fell to the worst team in the National League and hopefully get a chance to redeem themselves tonight starting at 7:40. Dallas Keuchel will make his second start for the Brewers as starting pitcher, pregame at 7:05 on several Civic Media radio stations. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlau. And now here is Sherita Booker, social media manager for Up North News, which is part of Courier Newsroom. Courier Newsroom has state outlets all over the country, growing all the time, Up North News being one of them. We're a separate entity from Civic Media, but we always want to express our thanks for being able to partner with them for this weekday morning radio show. But you can find the work that we do at Up North News at upnorthnewswi.com, or more likely, on your favorite social media platform, where the work that we all do runs through a pipeline that gets to Sherita here, and then she puts those stories out on social media. Sherita, good morning. How are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Very good, thanks. You know, as we head into, we're in the middle of the year now, and so it means that while we're in the midst of summer, we're not that far away from thinking about football. And that would include, you know, whether our new quarterback, our new Packers starting quarterback, is going to be sticking around, or if he's so good, we're going to lose him to, you know, early contract woes. What have you been posting about that?
The Packers are reportedly finalizing a 4-year contract extension that would make Jordan Love the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL after just one season. That post had almost 400 likes, and people had lots to say. Packers fans seem to be a bit weary. James said, "Packer fan here, and I love Jordan Love. Having said that, it's way too early. Give him another season at least." And Andrew said, "Would like to keep him around, but these salaries are getting out of hand."
The thing to always keep in mind for these salaries is it's an insane number, Sherita. You know, I mean, it just is. Whether Joe Burrow is tops on the list at $55 million a year. So Jordan Love is rumored to be somewhere between that and Jared Goff's $53 million a year. These are insane numbers. but you have to put the numbers in the context of how much money is out there in the league for these contracts. And I mean, that part of it is out of our control between the TV rights and the advertising and everything. I mean, that's the money pot that's out there. And you've got to decide whether you're going to invest it in a young quarterback or not. As we know, Sharita, some places don't do very well. Looking at you, Chicago Bears, Jason Field. But I again, if you take away the comments about the dollar amount itself, it's clear people still want this to work out well for Jordan Love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our second story, it takes us to the baseball diamond. And, oh, must have been, I don't know, 3 weeks ago or so, we played the 1980s song by singer Corey Hart, Sunglasses at Night. And I wondered at the time, I'm like, what is Corey Hart doing these days? Well, it turns out we found out with a post that Sharita helped put up a couple of weeks back. So what is Corey Hart up to now?
So now he has his own Wisconsin-made moonshine called Ballpark Shine. And the moonshine is made with Central Standard Crafts Distillery vodka. And I'd also like to share, shamefully, that the last time I went to a Brewer game was when he was still playing. It's been years.
We have got to get you to a game, it appears. Yeah. Yes. Corey Hart was a fan favorite. You know, 154 home runs, more than 500 ribbies during his 9 seasons with the Brewers, which, let's see, he left the team after 2013. So, yeah, Sharita, it's been a little while.
I feel like it took me to look at this post and realize that, like, geez, like, I think I say every year that I want to go tailgate, and I never do.
we got to work on that. So he goes from the diamond to the distillery, and that is a post with photos that come from Central Standard Craft Distillery, if you want to get the latest from Corey Hart, the baseball player. All right, finally, another favorite. We do... It seems like, you know, 4, maybe 5 stories a year, we mention Al Johnson's famous goats. And the reason you see all those posts is people love it. It's unusual. It is one of the highlights, they tell me, from Door County. And so we did a post recently that got a lot of engagement on that, Sharita.
Yeah, so if you don't know about this, they have goats on the rooftop, actual goats on the rooftop of this restaurant, Al Johnson's and Sister Bay. And it all started as a prank gift, which turned permanent. So if you want to check it out, you can do that from May through October. And that post had almost 3,000 likes, which is crazy. And according to the comments, the Swedish pancakes should be your go-to meal if you visit. And Mark said, cover your coffee if you're drinking it outside.
That makes sense. For folks that aren't aware, the roof on this building is a sod roof. So it all started with a prank. There was a pig up there one year, a raccoon, and then one year there was a goat, and it ended up becoming a semi-permanent part on there of seeing the goats in tourist season, but they're only up there if the weather is comfortable. Otherwise, they live at a farm a few miles down the road. And one of these days, I'm going to get out to Door County and see that. So I appreciate the advice about covering up your coffee. Just in case you know. So, all right, Sharita Booker, our social media manager here at Up North News. Sharita, thank you very much. Enjoy the holiday weekend.
Thanks, Pat. You too.
And now getting back at 626 to what we were talking about with the new designation of a biohealth tech hub in Wisconsin. A $50 million investment is about to be made by the federal government for job creation, enhancing private and public partnerships, research and development and manufacturing. And a lot of the focus is on the when we say biohealth tech hub, what is all this research going to do? What is this precision manufacturing that we're talking about? Well, we had Missy Hughes, who heads the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, on a few months back when the tech hub was looking more as a real possibility, even a likelihood here in Wisconsin. And in this clip, she tells us how it makes it easier for doctors and patients in the future to work on new methods and new devices when it comes to prevention and testing and treatment and monitoring of diseases.
This investment in the Badger State is projected to create.
We have folks working on what we're calling personalized medicine. And so it's this idea that when you go into your doctor, you get treatment that is exactly personalized to what you're experiencing. So imagine that you have a cancer tumor. In Wisconsin, we're developing not only genomic sequencing for how to treat that cancer, we're taking all the data that we know all around the world, and we're putting that data into what's the best treatment for that cancer. And then we're developing the advanced manufacturing to build the radiography and the machinery, the CAT scans, the MRIs that are going to treat that cancer. And so what we're seeing is all the way from the classroom and the labs at our universities to the hospital rooms, the potential to really change the game when it comes to your healthcare.
Again, this is just going to be a game changer for healthcare and for basically national investment in science. When folks look back at Joe Biden's presidency, a lot of folks think they're going to talk about, well, the pandemic coming out of it, maybe the bipartisan infrastructure law. But I think a longer range view is going to look at the CHIPS and Science Act and these tech hubs around the country as being perhaps the biggest investment of all in improving our quality of life and health here in Wisconsin. All right. I would love to spend maybe a little more time talking about the reaction to what the Supreme Court did in essentially saying, well, when the president does it, it's not a crime. But we'll save that for a little bit later on in the program. As you can imagine, a lot of reaction to an astounding ruling. But first, we're going to have the uplift with Christina Lurie coming up after this. You're up north. And now here's Christina Lurie. She puts together our daily newsletter. You can sign up for it over at northnewswi.com. Christina, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Pat?
Good, thanks. And just to clarify for the record again, that while this radio show starts at 6 a.m. and the newsletter comes out at 5 a.m., you are not there at 5 a.m. hitting the send button. You actually get to put this thing to bed a lot earlier and don't have to be up so early, right?
Yes.
Like, otherwise, people envision you like from 2 to 4 a.m. You're just writing like crazy at your desk.
No, but I mean, that was me in my past life. For those who don't know, I was a morning reporter and anchor in Madison for a long time. And those were my hours. So I'm very blessed to be on the other side where, yes, this is behind the curtain recorded.
We had Bob Gallagher on, who had been did sports with me at the TV station. Now he's a news anchor, and now he's moved from evenings to mornings. And we had him on a couple of weeks back, and I think he said his alarm was set for 2:30. Do you remember when you were getting up?
Oh, yes. You have to do fun things with your alarm just to make it a little more exciting. I used to wake up at 12:34 a.m. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Wake up at 12:30. When did you go to bed?
I would not recommend 5:30. It was not the amount of sleep I wanted. I'm a full 8 hour girl, but there's no way to get 8 hours on that schedule.
Yeah, no, I used to try going to bed at 7 p.m. when I was doing morning radio to get up at 3 a.m. And it was such a struggle both ways, but I was much younger then. Now at this age, getting up early is not a problem at all. But anyway, we digress.
I thought this is supposed to be an uplifting segment.
Yes, I know. It's this birthday is going to get past us and everything will be better. Then I'll just be officially old and I can let it go. Let's turn our attention to the Milwaukee Brewers, shall we? Because the other day, the Brewers passed the statistical halfway point of the season. I mean, it's not, you know, the All-Star break yet. That is coming up the week of July 15th.
It's a bit late this year.
It is. I was just thinking that. It's normally a week earlier than that. However, through the first 81 games of the season, this team, I've said it before, going to say it again, and I'm not the one who made it up, but they are too young to know they're not supposed to be this good yet.
Yes. It's been a while since I've been on your show. And back then, I feel like there was a lot of conversation being had that this is just a streak. You know, it's way too early in the season to tell. People obviously rightfully said that in April. They said it again at the end of May. Now we're officially at the halfway point of the season. I think it's, you can confidently say being 15 and ending the first half of the season, a season high 15 games over 500 is no longer a fluke and it's no longer luck. Seems like all of their rookies are just firing on all cylinders, and their lack of pitchers, they're just able to compensate for with their offense, which has been incredible. We have to talk. I've been itching to talk about this with someone, and you're the perfect person, Pat. Last week, the Brewers, within a span of five games, hit three grand slams. And then Jackson Churio, a rookie alone, when they were on their road trip to California, he hit what most people were thinking. All of the Brewers beat reporters, they said that it should have been an in-the-park homer, but it was eventually ruled a double and an error. But he did make it around all four bases.
We call the little league home run.
Yes. Yeah. In 14 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then I think he must have been mad that that was not on his record as an official in the Parker. So he did it again last week at home in front of the home crowd, hit a real inside the park home run with no error called, no challenge made. It was very clear when he dove into home that he was safe. And it's things like that that just make Brewers baseball so exciting to watch this season.
Well, and given that Jackson Churio was the hot prospect that everybody had been watching, and we've been to this movie before. Garrett Mitchell is the most recent example, who, you know, is still working his way up through the minors, recovering from injuries here. So between the prospect Jackson Churio and then the people who were not expected to be team leaders, like pitcher Jared Koenig, and then some of the people who've come in along the way as after the season got underway, it is just a feel-good story that has been, you know, building crowds at American Family Field and keeping people engaged.
And these players, they don't always I'm glad Jackson Churio turned out great, but at the beginning of the season, people were comparing him, like hoping he could live up to Jackson Holliday. Mm-hmm. And Jackson Holliday is pretty absent from the conversation this season.
He is. And that's the whole beauty of doing these prospects. And it doesn't matter if you're talking, you know, baseball, if you're talking the NBA draft or the NFL draft, you can draft all you want, but when it's time for it to really count, you know, that's the thing. That's where you either are making money or you're not. And for a team that's got Jackson Churio to be 20-5 in the 25 home games before the halfway point of the season, tells me that they've been doing something right.
Absolutely. And then the rookies obviously have been very exciting to watch, but the glue of the team and just Mr. Consistent. I mean, you rarely even see him in the game recaps just because he's just so consistently good. Christian Yelich, he hit a really big milestone last week. That's also worth a mention. I hesitate to say, like some clubs, you know, clubs in quotation marks like this, it seems like it's LeBron stats where they're just like throwing out random numbers. And if you play long enough, you hit them. But this is actually a pretty cool club. So he's officially a member of the 200 homers, 200 steals, 300 doubles club, which only he was the 49th member. So haven't even had, you know, 50 members yet. There's only four other active players that are part of it. Jose Altuve, former Brewer, and Andrew McCutchen, Jose Ramirez, and Mike Trout, and then Christian Yelich, of course. But it's also important to note that 34 out of those 49 members are in the Hall of Fame. So,
and Jose Ramirez was the only one who like Yelly, had all three of those milestones happen in the same season. And like you said, it's the consistency that you get from, you know, some of the other now veterans on the team. And it's weird for me to say, like, Willie Adames is a veteran, but he is, you know, he's no longer the new fresh face. He is, you know, very much a solid foundational member of the ball club. And it's that mix of, you know, of experience and youth that, I mean, you got to combine it with the great coaching as well. We've talked about Pat Murphy. Like, we maybe should have went with this guy instead of Craig Counsell a lot earlier.
It's great to see someone like Murphy succeed. I mean, I've honestly never watched post-game press conferences. I think I'm scarred a little bit by working in local news. Like, when I hear press conference, I immediately want to flip away because they're usually very boring. His post-game press conferences are just so honest and genuine, and they're worth watching if you haven't already. He a lot of times invites his sons that sit on either side of him. They're little boys. They're under 10. Pat, he just has a remarkable story in and of itself. He has older kids as well. He was married, and now he's remarried to someone that he dated 40 years ago. Oh, and they drifted apart and got back together. It's a beautiful story. That's why he has those two younger boys with him. And he really treats his players like family. In two conferences last week, after Hoskins hit his grand slam because he had been slumping, and then after Terang had a really good game, they asked Pat Murphy like his reaction, and he started tearing up both times. I mean, that's how much he's in it with these players. And it's just so cool to see. I know I've mentioned this before, and this is not a good season to say this, so I'm just being very brave. But I grew up a White Sox fan, and they are having the world's worst season, so that's why it's super fun to watch the Brewers. But this Brewers team reminds me a lot of our 2005 World Series champion team, because it's a lot of younger guys. We actually had former Brewer. He was, I believe he finished second rookie of the year before, Scott Pasednik. He was still very young at the beginning of his career. He was our leadoff hitter, and he was just kind of the glue that got everything going, a lot like Terang does when he bats first in the lineup. And it's just so fun to see these young guys get their shot and they make their plays. And even if they're down 4-0 in the game, you know that a grand slam is not out of reach because they've done it 3 times in the past 5 games.
Look what this state has done to you. Look at what the teams have done to you. When you started here at Up North News, you weren't seeing a lot of sports stories in there. And if you did, there were the ones like we had one last week on some of the more unusual food you can find at American Family Field. But between Giannis with the Bucks and the Badgers, you know, the volleyball team and all the other teams, we've won your heart. We've won your heart.
Here's what it is, Pat. Being from Illinois, the main, like, obviously most people who are from Illinois are Bears fans. So we were just kind of taught from a young age to hate Packers fans. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the Packers fans that are in Illinois, they seem disingenuous. It's like they don't have any ties to Wisconsin. And Packers fans that are listening to this, you don't want to claim them. They, much like people who root for the Yankees but live anywhere in America besides New York, they're just rooting for a team because you're consistently good. The Packers fans here actually love football, know the players, and love watching the games. So I think I grew up with a skewed view of what Wisconsin fans, whether it was Badgers, Packers, Brewers, were like. And also, it does help that the Brewers are in the National League, and I was taught to hate the Cubs growing up, so it's a very easy transition.
See, there we're getting to this. The re-education of Christina Laurie is a wonderful thing to see. Anything else Brewer related that you know is coming up in the newsletter, either that you know is coming or things that you'd like to work on yet before the season ends?
Well, I'm hoping we'll have a slew of really positive All-Star news coming in. I think Yelich and Contreras are pretty much locked to be in those starters positions, but
I think Joey Ortiz is going to get in one way or the other.
I'm hoping. I'm interested. We're kind of like on trade watch. I'm wondering who they're going to move around. It seems like they're going to need some more pitchers. And then also I'm hoping maybe we can grab Crochet from the White Sox. He's a really good young pitcher. And he's already had Tommy John surgery.
Look, you said trade, and I'm thinking of the trade deadline. And I right away went into the Brewers version of PTSD, which was losing Josh Hader. And in the beginning, it seemed like we got nothing out of it. And yet the Brewers, and I don't have the list right in front of me, but it wasn't just the players we got directly, but then trading some of those players for other players has actually done all right. And it's been a good lesson in much like the draft, don't react too quickly to these kinds of moves that are made. Some things take time to develop.
And you know what happens when you Google who did the Brewers get for the Josh Hader trade? The number one headline is from Sports Illustrated saying, "A look," this is from 2024 January of this year. Mm-hmm. A look back, the Padres easily won the Josh Hader trade. I'm not sure that they would be writing that.
They would not be writing that right July. Now. No, not after some of the other transactions that have happened since then. So that is why we have all these good Brewer stories. And I promise you, if baseball's not your thing, not only does Christina have all the other great features around Wisconsin, places and food and people, and of course the latest news and all of that, but if baseball's not your thing, the Jordan Love feel good stories about the Packers, they're not that far away. Training camp is opening soon.
No, and congratulations to the newly engaged Jordan Love. That was the big news of the week.
Nothing but the uplifting news here from Christina Lori, who puts together our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Just click newsletter in that top banner. Christina, thank you so much.
Great talking with you guys.
I was looking at the... Hang on, there we go. Push the right button. I was looking at the Sports Illustrated headline that Christina was talking about on mm-hmm. the Josh Hader trade.
Yeah.
And... let's see if I can find the one. From January, this past January. I look back. The Padres easily won the Josh Hader trade. That was Sports Illustrated in January. Here's Sports Illustrated in May. The Padres Josh Hader trade is already looking bad 2 years later. Sports Illustrated. Never change, guys. Today's history lesson is on the way next. You're up north.
Something without one.
This was the number one song in 1966. Glances, wandering in the night. What a weird time for the music charts. You had, you still had all the slow, romantical music, your big bands. Then you had the early days of rock and roll. So you might have the Beatles topping the charts one moment and Frank Sinatra the next. What a time to be alive.
That's just very weird to me now, because I feel like if you ask me to name who is the top of the charts, I'd be like, someone I've never heard of. I'm just going to bet it.
And you're absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't.
And good on them. And good for their fans.
Yep. It's just that we can't play most of it on the radio these days. Strangers in the Night, number one song this day in 1966. It would later win the Oscar for Best Song Used in a Movie. A little American history for you. Yeah, it's July 2nd. The Continental Congress adopted the resolution severing ties with Great Britain, although the actual final wording of the Declaration of Independence was not adopted until July 4th. So what you'd call it, the preliminary resolution was adopted on this day, and then the Declaration of Independence a day and two later. On this day in 1962, Jimi Hendrix was honorably discharged from the Army. He served just about a year of his three-year commitment. The reason given for his discharge was, quote, unsuitability, as his superiors say he will never be a good soldier, in part because he's more interested in his guitar than his rifle. That checks out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but I don't think that works for a lot of folks. Like, he spends so much more time with his golf club than his rifle. We got to let him out of his commitment. So,
Hendrix, get in that foxhole. Man, I just want to play hot licks, man. Hot licks.
Michael Jackson's Dirty Diana hit number one this day in 1988.
Yes.
Please,
I have the stuff that you want. I am the thing that you need. She looked me deep in the
In hitting number one on this day in 1988, it made Michael Jackson the first artist to score 5 number one singles from the same album, and the album was titled Bad. This is the anniversary of the birth of Thurgood Marshall, civil rights activist who later became Solicitor General of the United States and then a justice on the Supreme Court, died this day in 1993 and has been spinning in his grave ever since the appointment of Clarence Thomas, perhaps more so after things that were said in yesterday's ruling. On this day in 1964, President Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act, meant to prohibit segregation in public places. Here's an interesting tidbit on this day in 1980, when an unknown singer named Sheena Easton was featured on a bit of a BBC reality show of its time. It was called The Big Time. Let's hear a little of Sheena's first hit, 9 to 5, in the background while I tell you more about this appearance. Again, it was July 2nd, 1980. And the show, The Big Time, followed regular people who were just trying to achieve their dreams. And they show her auditioning for the record company EMI, and they're impressed, and they sign her to a deal, and this song becomes a hit 2 months later. I haven't been a DJ for a long time, but even I'm impressed that I hit the post on that one. I mean, that... Let's roll that tape back. I just want to do that again. That was fun. On this day in 1937, Amelia Earhart and her navigator, Fred Noonan, are last heard over the Pacific Ocean while attempting to make the first equatorial around-the-world flight. On this day in 1962, the very first Walmart store opened for business in Rogers, Arkansas. And a lot of birthdays today, including singer Michelle Branch. She is 41 years old today.
What?
Yeah. I know.
I didn't feel very good.
I know. Rapper Saweetie is 31. Actress Margot Robbie, 34. Lindsay Lohan is 38 years old today. I remember when she was the child star that was just going to take over everything. Such talent.
Yep.
And like so many child stars, no, not so much. Former Milwaukee Brewer Niger Morgan is 44 today. And comedian Larry David is 77. I missed some of the National Day calendar stuff from yesterday when it was the first of the month. But I figure even though it's the second of the month, I can tell you this is still Lasagna Awareness Month. Which kills me. Why did you put awareness in there? It's one thing to have it be National Lasagna Month. Why did they call it National Lasagna Awareness Month, Greg?
Pat, just want to let you know, every day this month, I'm doing one thing and one thing only. Just staying aware of lasagna.
Just
because you never know what'll sneak up on you. Mm-hmm. And just be like, eat the entire pan. And you're like, what am I, Garfield?
This is also Family Golf Month, which... I don't know. I could see taking the family golfing once, but you're supposed to take them every day during the month? How's that supposed to work?
And tomorrow is Dad throw your golf club into the pond day.
This is National Transplant Week. This is World Sports Journalist Day. But interestingly enough, again, all these weird coincidences, today is also World UFO Day. If only there were... some accompanying music. Oh, there we go. Now, yes.
But I found something even better, Pat. Oh.
Do tell. Oh, yes.
I can't believe I never heard this song until I got the show.
I know.
And the video is...
The video is Karen Carpenter's this lovely woman. God rest her soul. But looks absolutely creepy in this thing. You know, like she's in a trance trying to call out for aliens to come make contact with us.
Well, and they're both dressed like they're doing a residency in Vegas. They're not even dressed in like super futuristic wares or anything. Like,
no. No. It's just so, it was so odd, but it was, you know, a time when people were always talking about ESP and telepathy and this whole notion that, well, if on one day, if we all think real hard. We can maybe contact life elsewhere, or they can know that we're here and come visit us. When really, all these years later, if we're really going to think of something, we've learned what to think about. And it's lasagna. Exactly. Think about lasagna. Think about,
yeah.
You don't need to. We've seen enough movies like Independence Day and others. Be careful what you wish for when you're saying to the aliens, hey, come find us. I'm sure we're not delicious like a lasagna to you at all.
Maybe this song called them. They got here. They were like, nah, we're good.
Nah, pass. Hard pass. Yep. In our next hour, Bryce Luchterhand will tell us more about helping Ukrainian war refugees settle in the U.S. and in Wisconsin. That and much more ahead on Up North News Radio.